All prior years.
Yeah, nervous.
93, 93 million total.
Right. All prior years would be above that.
All prior years would be in addition to $93 million revenue loss. If you went back to when the Fed started ACRS, and probably a substantial addition.
If you tried to make up for all of those differences right now, immediately up front in 85.
Or allow people to go back and amend, the yes. net effect would be right. the same.
Yes. Now, I've also tried to come up with a rough estimate of what it would be, whether it's a tax year ending or tax year beginning. And as far as I can see right now, you're looking at maybe an additional $1 to $2 million reduction if it's tax year ending rather than beginning.
Madam Chair, discussion on this point. Why do we want to adopt the federal method when it costs us almost $40 million?
Because one, the governor has budgeted $60 million for this bill, and I thought what I would like to see is as much conformity and as much simplicity as we can garner. And I think probably there's been more discussion about this than almost any other issue since the federal code was adopted. I would hope that we would adopt this with our own unique quirks, for lack of a better word. I guess I'm not even sure how to discuss it because I just, in my mind, you know, it was happening. And so I don't have any really good arguments. I would like to see conformity and I would like to see simplicity.
Madam Chair, I agree with conformity and simplicity. And I don't, with all due respect, find any merit in the fact that the governor has budgeted $60 million for this, and I think that we're talking about a big ticket item here, and outside of conformity and simplicity, I need more specific reasons other than the governor has budgeted an amount for this.
I'm sure.
Representative Scorn?
Well, I think that the biggest reason probably is to stop the burden on business of maintaining two separate depreciation schedules or systems. And I know that that's a big issue with the business community, and I guess I'm inclined to agree, knowing that the length of time that these things can stand up.
Madam Chair,
I
think that argument doesn't really hold all the weight it should hold, although I agree with the motive. If we adopt this to apply to property placed into effect or placed in business beginning in 85, I guess simplicity does apply, but if you have old property added on to that, what you have is prior Oregon property that now will be messed around with in order to bring it current, but only for current purposes. I don't know whether that's simplicity. It doesn't sound simple to me. But I guess the bottom line is simplicity is something that we had before the feds went off on their fancy schedule, and I'm not sure I bought the federal law change in the first place, and I would like to be convinced that I should buy it for the purposes of Oregon, and simplicity is something alone that I don't convince me that we ought to change our present depreciation system that as we treat items in 84 and before.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schoon.
Tom, I think I agree with what you said. You're saying that it would be okay for property placed in service after January 1st, 1985, but not prior to that time?
No.
That, I didn't really say that.
I didn't say that. As I understand it, if we apply it to property placed into effect into service after 85, there's a $38 million impact. If we additionally apply it beginning in 85 to property already in service, there's an additional $55 million impact for a total of $93 million. And were we to make it retroactive, there would be substantially more than the 93. I'm yet to be convinced that we should even go to 38. I think our system of depreciation or cost recovery is reasonably valid as it stands.
Mr. Manager.
Whatever. Representative Schoon. My former friend.
Ask the Department of Revenue. Second choice. Really? Yeah.
Yes.
If we adopt the federal code, the taxpayer will still be able to utilize straight line. It is not absolutely required to use ACRS, right?
Representative Schoon, I have to check the laws on ACRS. It seems to me that is true, but there are some situations where you have to use ACRS, and I would like to better be able to tell you a good answer, and that I'd like to check that out.
Madam Chair.
Of course, for purposes under the bill, too, excuse me, that for the assets that you already have in service that you are using straight line, you would be continue to use the straight line in that situation. Representative Hand, could Steve make a comment?
Sure.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that when we say straight line, it's not clear in my mind right now whether there's any differences between straight line options under ACRS and any, as far as life of the asset is concerned, and straight line under the old ADR method. Do you know offhand?
Yes, Steve, I believe that the straight line that they're referring to that you have an option of electing is over a shorter life
that was
than,
my feeling also.
Than straight line under the old federal rule.
So you would still have the straight line option under ACRS, but it might be different than current straight line.
Can I give an example?
Sure.
Okay. For example, on 3-year ACRS property, you could elect a recovery period straight line of either 5 or 12 years. On 5-year property, you could elect a straight line period of 12 or 25 years. There's specific times that you would depreciate those over, which was the nice part of ACRS. You were given specific recovery periods.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I guess what I really want to get to is not the technicalities, but let's talk about this. If we've had a shift since the 50s from corporate to business, the other way around, from
corporate to personal
share of paying taxes in this state, in essence, it appears that by adopting the Fed ACRS method, we're going to further that shift. And if we're talking economics in this state of what's good for the state, let's make sure we discuss the policy issues of what's good for the state. And what I'm saying is, show me, because I'm not about to vote to allow $40 million revenue loss or $93 million revenue loss without a good rationale behind it. And what I'm saying is the simplification, when you're talking those figures, the simplification is not enough for me.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
On the simplification issue, I guess I'm almost agreeing with Representative Hanlon. We had two CPAs presenting the report, one from Arthur Anderson, one from Touche Ross. Both agreed that running the parallel depreciation methodologies is not a big deal, which surprised me. because I've been told it was a big deal and very complicated. And I remember asking that question in several different ways to make sure that we were getting a clear answer, and the answer was no sweat.
Oh, I'm sorry for him. Somehow I was getting signals from him, and his signal was
Madam Chair, I'd like to add one comment to what Representative Hugo is saying, though. Some larger CPA firms, I think, are not having as much trouble because they use their micros, et cetera, and they have done this for a number of years. But some of the smaller businesses and smaller CPA firms, it does cause a hardship.
So by not reconnecting, we put Tom Hanlon out of business.
generally speaking, we get comments at the department. I guess I was very surprised with you also of that comment, because we get enormous amounts, probably just like with this committee. The one item that you're going to talk most about is ACRS. The mm-hmm. one item that we talk most because of the disconnect is, without a doubt, ACRS. How do you treat the assets, the problems that are caused because of the basis situations and the taxable income, the forms complications, because what the feds do is change one code section that relates to ACRS, but then they make another depreciation section that, because of the tie, we're not connected, so now the CPAs have to, and this is what they tell us in our CPA liaison meetings, and because of our requirements based on law, that there are certain situations where one is a modification for Oregon and one is an Oregon change section. And so they have to split even the depreciation out to different places, and they have to keep track of that to different places. Because of the the interim committee's requirement, when we met with them, that they would like us to separate personal versus real, because the CPAs had been saying that personal assets basically maybe wasn't even increasing income, you know, as ACRS was supposed to do. And they had, in the past, maybe wanted to connect to personal and stay disconnected from ACRS for real property. And so we split the forms so we could keep track of personal property versus real property. And again, we got calls. We're not allowed to say we have to do that. But that was for statistical purposes, and so we are requiring it. And that caused all of those people that mm-hmm. have those types of assets to split those out. And computer firms that sell software, et cetera, would call us and want to know that. It's a very complicated, extremely complicated area. And we get a lot of comments from CPAs, attorneys, business people in general about ACRS.
I think I've heard more about this over the biennium than anything mm-hmm. from attorneys, from CPAs, from more, it's just a variety of folks. It just, in fact, a CPA drove up from Eugene just to go to dinner, and I knew we were going to talk about some of the ice, and the bottom line, are you going to connect? Mm-hmm. Are we going to adopt ACRS? I think I'm on the line. Representative Schoen.
Well, it's not only the CPAs that have this problem, it's every individual that prepares a tax return that has depreciable equipment. And so it's not just limited to professional accountants. It's every bookkeeper, every tax preparer, every individual that doesn't use either one of those has to wrestle with the same problem.
That's why I pay my CPA to do it for me.
I can't afford that.
I think there's about 15
the losses it is.
CPAs in this firm. It's not a national big, it's just a Eugene. Anyway, that's a fantasy. And they do go outside of the state. Okay. What I heard was Representative Hanlon is not convinced. What I heard was Representative Hugo's not a little bit.
As a practical matter, I'm sure that the ACRS reconnect is already in the budget balance calculation. Yes. We have allocated $38 million to reconnect ACRS. So the assumption, critical assumption of the building is we're going to do it.
When?
Pardon? 1/1/85, we're going to be ACRS. That's the assumption. When we go through the numbers in our caucus and you go through the numbers in your caucus, that's that $38 million you see there.
Mm-hmm.
So the political decision is assumed to be that this
subcommittee and the full committee is going to adopt the ACRS recommendation of 1185.
Well, that's another policy question. What date is the, what date do we assume another date? When did the federal law, was it January 1 of 84?
Madam Chair, you mean when ACRS started?
Uh-huh.
It was in 81, I believe, was the first tax year.
January.
That.
That's right. It was when it was Reagan was fairly new, if I remember right. Is that true?
That's true.
Yes, Representative Scullin.
Well, I think we need to do what we're going to do to resolve whether or not we want to connect. I know Tom's still got some problems, and I don't know. He said he has to be convinced. I don't know if we can do that.
Well, I think this
but
has
maybe
to.
We should try. What will it take, Tom?
Well, the only issues we've discussed are whether or not it's hard to do. And I agree, it may be a little hard to do, but that doesn't. I'm not willing to vote in favor of adopting federal ACRS just because it's hard not to do.
What does the bill call for?
And the question then becomes, aren't there policy decisions on why we're doing this? Other than it's easier.
Well, Madam Chairman.
Representative Scullin.
Tom, for me, that's adequate. Really, in my experience. And so, we're looking at simplification all the way through here, and I think this is one of the areas that we need to go to just to make it easier for a lot of people. And sooner or later, right, maybe this will happen. Sooner or later, Steve, maybe you want to listen to this.
We're trying to look at the effect of David Bill. I apologize.
I need Steve's help here. Sooner or later, the income loss starts reversing itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take all your depreciation in a hurry, and the taxpayer gains and the state loses. But after a little period of time, after that expires, then the relative income earned from that asset starts increasing instead of, and is more. So the taxpayer pays more after the ACRS period has expired, assuming he hasn't sold the equipment. And so it's not just straight loss. Sooner or later you start reversing this thing, and so in the end it all will all come out in the wash.
Representative Scullin, if I might just comment on that. In this day of technological change, when you have fixed assets coming into a business, your long-time depreciable mix is growing smaller and smaller, and you say, assuming that they're depreciated over more than the 4 years, I think you'll find net that isn't the case in 1985.
Okay, Madam Chairman. Tom, however, isn't that consistent with the accounting theory that you want to expense the item over its useful life?
And we don't have to, I agree, and we don't have to switch to ACRS to do that.
We don't have time now. I wonder if we should go next. You have a good point, and that is we have too long of a space between our meetings when we meet every Thursday.
Yeah.
Perhaps the next time we should meet, we could do the Blackboard business of what we did on in my office on the sheet. Or did we do it up here? I can't remember. What the current
system. Oh, you're talking about the whether it's the beginning tax year beginning or tax year ending.
Well, and also we had. No, I'm thinking something else. We used as an example.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
but yes, Tom. I asked Tom how you would feel about the simply voting on the issue. You know, just to get it resolved. It doesn't sound like you're going to be convinced very easily by with the knowledge that we have anyway.
I don't mind voting on the issue. I at this point in time, with my knowledge, I just don't. I haven't heard reasons at this point in time to convince me to vote for the adoption of ACRS.
Well, I don't know any other arguments that could be advanced to support that change. There may be some, but I don't know about them. And so if you would prefer, of course, to wait and explore the subject further, then I would suppose that that would be okay with those of us that would prefer to connect. But if there is no advantage in doing that, we might as well go ahead and get on with it.
But John, I think
without putting pressure on you to do something you don't want to do.
If the motion replies today and the vote were today, it'd be 2-2.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we? It's going to be 2-1 in me. And I prefer going over reviewing, spending one of our whole meetings just on ACRS.
Madam Chair, let me disagree with the statement of Representative Hugo that it's going to be 2-1 in him.
Pardon? I'm sorry.
I just want to disagree with your statement that it's going to be 2-1 in you. There is no certainty at this point in time that it will be that.
Does the department have...
My tea leaves at 2-1 of me.
Does the department have anything they want to add before we adjourn on ACRS?
Madam Chair, since it is the governor's bill, I would like to go back and look at my notes to see why it was in the governor's plan the way it is, because
okay.
It may add some light on why the governor's supporting it.
Obviously, this will be revisited.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Schoon.
Well, I think even if we decide to proceed with this, we're still going to have a some substantial decisions to make on when we do it and
mm-hmm.
to what equipment it applies to. And so I don't think we should ignore those points either. We should be thinking about those.
No, all three, all four of the, there's five, whether to adopt, date, place in service, tax years affected, and new property or old. I do share your concern in the 55 million.
Well, the simplicity argument is the prevailing argument. We would have to do it all.
Yeah, yes.
Right around $100 million, if I recall. From
93?
Yeah. Otherwise, the simplicity argument falls apart.
Well, no, I don't agree with that, because I think that it's better to, from a simplicity argument, to put it, apply it to equipment that is placed in service after January 1985, not apply it to last year's equipment.
But you do have, then, the problem of two forms. Is that not true?
Madam Chair, any time you have the difference from those past years, you're going to have to continue to depreciate those, and you probably would have a separate form.
Yes.
For those old assets.
We appreciate you sticking with us through thick and thin. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I appreciate your help.